We ready to start? Let's go ahead and open the City of Goleta Planning Commission meeting for Monday, June 25th, 2012. And shall we start with a pledge to our flag?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, how about a roll call, please?
Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Sheeler?
Present.
Commissioner Solomon?
Here.
Vice Chair West?
Here.
Chair Wallace?
Here. All right. And then we can have a public forum for anyone wishing to speak to items not on tonight's agenda. I have no speaker slips, so I think that we'll just move right on. Are there any amendments or adjustments for tonight? There are none. All right, then the first thing we do is the administrative agenda, and that would be the Planning Commission minutes for the meeting of June 11th, 2012. Comments or a motion, please?
Motion and move to adopt.
All right.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioners. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Madam Clerk, that's unanimous. And then our next item, Madam Clerk.
Item B1 is a public hearing on the West Star Mixed Use Project, 7000 Hollister Avenue, case numbers 08-143-GPA, RZ, OA, VTM, track map 32048, DP, 10040 CUP, 10041 CUP, 10097 OA, APNs 073-030-020-021.
Thank you. Tonight's meeting on this item is a little bit different from usual because it includes a site visit as part of our meeting. But before we do that, I think we should hear from our staff, and if the applicant wants to say something now, that's fine, certainly time later. So, Mr. Kollwitz.
Thank you, Chair Wallace and members of the Commission. Tonight's site visit is, or meeting is definitely a site visit. It's one of the primary things that we're going to focus upon. We're still going to take you through a very brief overview from both the staff as well as from the applicant before we depart. So with that, let me go ahead and launch into what we're doing tonight. So this is the first of two public hearings for the West Star project tonight, June 25th. And then we're anticipating this meeting to be continued to July 23rd to continue with the actual a more typical Planning Commission hearing on a project. What we're here tonight is to consider the West Star project. It's approximately a 23.5-acre parcel. It's up on the screen right now. And just a couple of pictures of what the site looks like. It's currently a mostly vacant parcel. There are a couple of structures that are on the site today, but those would be demolished as part of this project. There's a television studio on the top left of the screen. In the bottom left is the ATM facility, as well as some transmission lines that would be relocated on the project site as part of this project. This project, ultimately, in summary, would consist of construction of a commercial center, just shy of 90,000 square feet, 274 residential apartment units, and then 5 live-work units, which is a new type of development in the city of Goleta. Essentially, what we're doing tonight is we're providing a brief overview of what this project is. After staff's and the applicant's presentation, we're going to recommend that you open up the public hearing at that point in time, and then we're going to depart on a site visit to the project site to really give everyone a chance to understand what this project is, the design, the spatial orientation, the 3D aspects of it. By that, we mean the size, bulk, and scale of the project site. All those things collectively we're calling the physical attributes of this project. After we go on the site visit, then we're going to return to City Hall for additional information Primarily, the applicant is going to be giving a more detailed presentation of the project, the architecture and landscape architecture, civil projects. And then from there, we'll be available for an extended question and answer period, and additional public comment at that point in time. The next meeting, essentially, I describe that as being more typical of a Planning Commission hearing. And that's the one that you're going to receive a more thorough project description. We're going to go through the entitlement applications that are being requested. We're going to go through the environmental analysis, the general plan, and the zoning consistency at that point in time. There'll be an additional applicant presentation, additional public comments, and then that'll be a time to close the public hearing is our anticipation, allow the Planning Commission to deliberate, and then finally give a recommendation to the City Council. So that's more or less the game plan that we see playing out. As far as this project itself, giving you a little bit of background, the first application we received on this application package came in July 15th, 2008. It consisted of a general plan amendment initiation request, of which the council heard. It was regarding just land use issues, and the council said, "Yeah, go ahead and study the general plan amendment that is being requested." That was followed up with a Planning Commission conceptual review that happened on April 13th of 2009. There are a number of questions that the Planning Commission had asked of the applicant, of the project, of the intent, and gave a number of good ideas for all of us to consider. And the applicant took those and thought about it and came back with additional applications. A variety of entitlement applications actually had been submitted between October of 2009 and September of 2010. So it was an evolving project as it went through, through the process. The Design Review Board has reviewed this project a total of 5 times already for conceptual review. And the project evolved as it went through that process. Most recently, it was November 8th of 2011 was the last time that the Design Review Board had looked at this project. And then, going through our normal processes, we finished our draft environmental impact report for the project and released that as of October of last year. That public comment period has closed, and we're getting ready to release the final impact report. We anticipate doing that by July 13th, if not earlier, so shortly. But going through that environmental review process, I'm not going to get into the details of the environmental review because I don't want to throw us off our anticipated agenda today. But there were 2 notable things that happened that I do want to share with you because it changed the physicality of the site. So as I go through the slides here, this is what the site plan had looked like prior to finishing the environmental impact report process. And in particular, up in the, and this is what it looks like now, but let me go ahead and show you a circle, area that's circled in the top right corner. It's the northeast corner of the residential project site. I'm going to put 2 pictures up to it next to each other. On the right in the inset is what the project site plan had looked like. The large site plan is what it looks like and what it's proposed to be today. And what that's showing you is Glen Annie Road, not to be confused with historic / Glen Annie, but Glen Annie Road that runs adjacent to this project site. It ends in a cul-de-sac at the very northern terminus, right by an Edison substation. The prior project had the residential apartment buildings immediately adjacent to Glen Annie Road, and it was creating a bit of a streetscape as you went up Glen Annie Road. Well, through the public comments that were provided, there was a request to make the project more inward-facing rather than outward-facing onto Glen Annie Road itself. So what you see has happened as a result is the residential buildings in the former site plan, 15, 17, and 13 all the way at the top, have now switched places with the drive aisle. So the drive aisle is now closest to Glen Annie Road, and the carports are now closest to Glen Annie Road, and all the structural development has moved further to the west up in that north corner. The other notable thing that had happened is Glen Annie Road, where it intersected with Hollister Avenue. If you go out there today, Hollister Avenue, it's free-flowing back and forth, east to west, but there's a stop sign at Glen Annie Road. As part of this project, what had previously been proposed was configuring that intersection to allow individuals to turn from Hollister Avenue north onto Glen Annie. But it was going to restrict traffic from coming down Glen Annie and being able to turn eastbound onto Hollister Avenue. Through the public review process, one of the changes that has happened is now Hollister and Glen Annie Road will become a signalized intersection. It'll be a regular T intersection, allowing for traffic to function, to flow at a controlled intersection. So I'm just pointing out the two most dramatic physical changes that have happened to the project site. So when we're out on site, you can go ahead and consider those. So I talked about this meeting really being about a site visit. So with that, we have some goals that we wanted to share with you. Excuse me. First and foremost, the site visit is to allow the Planning Commission, members of the public, and others to understand the project's physical attributes as part of the public hearing process. These are the goals that we have. First and foremost, to provide opportunities to understand the project's physical attributes. Second, to keep the focus and questions and comments on the physical attributes of the project. Essentially, we're not going to try to get into air quality issues and those things that we're reserving for the second public hearing. And third is to reserve questions, comments, and so on and so forth for your questions. Let me restate that one. Reserve our questions and comments that we're going to have about the physical attributes for when we return back to this room so they can be caught on the record, and to keep those environmental and zoning questions reserved for the second Planning Commission hearing. So that's what we're striving to do today. So as far as the site visit route, just to share the route with everyone in this room, as well as those who might be watching on TV or on the internet who might be meeting up with us on the site, this is our proposed plan of action. We're going to leave here after the applicant's presentation, and we're going to congregate at the existing building, the existing bank/television station. From there, we're going to walk along Hollister Avenue to the Marketplace Hollister Avenue intersection. We're going to cross the street and go down towards the far western edge of the project site to really get the widest view you can of the project site. Look at it from that point of view, come back to the Hollister Marketplace Avenue intersection, cross the street, and then continue back down on the project site itself down to the building so you can really go ahead and get an understanding of the project site with story poles that have already been installed on the project site. From there, we're going to head back towards the center of the property to where the commercial and the residential portion of the project really has that interface. From there, we're going to go ahead and head back up to the northwest corner of the project site to get another expansive view of the project. And in particular, the thing that we're going to ask everyone to look at from that perspective is what happens with the overhead transmission lines that run along Hollister Avenue as it relates to this project. From there, we're going to go ahead and traverse the entire project site again, all the way over to Glen Annie Road. At that location, there are some demarcations for where one of the residential buildings is going to go. Head south on Glen Annie Road to where the live-work units are at circle number 7, and then finally get back to where we started, at the television station / bank / Glen Annie Hollister Avenue intersection. So one of the things that we've done to help try to explain what this project is in terms of those physical attributes is we've had story poles and stakes already installed on the project site, as well as the road itself being demarcated. So to share with you what we're going to be looking at in particular, the red lines that are coming up on the project screen right now, and I'll do those again, those are the locations of where the story poles have already been installed on the project site. Excuse me. And we chose these locations in particular because they're the ones that are closest to the right-of-way. They're the ones that the public and at large will really interact with the most on any given day. You'll notice that we didn't include all the buildings that are out there in particular in the southeast corner of the project site. We don't have story poles for that one because it's primarily the location where the existing building is today. So out of a total of 27 different buildings on the project site, only 5 are being represented out on site. In addition to the story poles, we've had some staking being put in on the project site, and those are the green diamonds that are popping up on the screen. And what those are meant to do is to help identify the depth and the width of some of these buildings. So you'll have the story poles, which help give height, and then you'll have the stakes that help give depth to provide that three-dimensional aspect. One of the other things that we had the applicant provide for your benefit and the public's benefit is to stake the location of the residential one of the residential buildings up in the northeast corner as it had previously existed. And those are the blue diamonds that are popping up on the screen now. So you'll be able to see how the project changed and shifted as we went from the previous site plan to this site plan. And in addition to that, there's a green dye that's been put on the project site to demarcate the center line of the road that's going to run through the project site. So these are all things that we're trying to help all of us get a really good feel about what this project actually entails. One of the things that's not going to be depicted on site is the grading that's going to happen as part of this project. Let me actually follow up that in just a second. Story poles, just so we all know what those are. They're surveyed locations, both in terms of the latitude and longitude of an actual pole, a corner of a building, as well as the height. And what you'll have a structure like this, and then running along the top of this pole to another story pole location, will be a string or a fabric of some sort that really allows the individuals to see where the top of these structures are going to be. It's not to the top of architectural features, but it would be to the top of parapets throughout the project site. And then very quickly, this was in the staff report. It's showing the location again with the red lines of where the story poles are located on the project site, and then with the green diamonds showing where the stakes are located on the buildings out on the project site. Where I was just a second ago was grading, because what we're it's not something that we could readily show what's going to happen. So what we do need to share with you today is the site today, it's pretty gently sloping. If you go out inside, it's between a 1 to 10% grade anywhere on the site, but definitely on the 1 to 2% for most of it. And the highest point on the entire site is 71 feet above mean sea level. The lowest point is 45 feet. So it's a difference of 26 feet from front to back across the entire project site. To give you some ideas of what's happening adjacent to it, on the west side of the project site, on Santa Felicia, those properties are anywhere between 45 to 40 feet above mean sea level. And on the east side, it's anywhere between 50 to 49, so a really, really flat area. Across the street, and it's not on this graph whatsoever, or this image, the Camino Real Marketplace is anywhere between 39 to 43 feet above mean sea level. And north of the project site on the Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way, that's anywhere between 56 to 61 feet above mean sea level. When the project is actually constructed, it's really going to be two large pads that are constructed, and the red line on the screen really kind of shows the demarcation of where those pads are going to be. The commercial component, there's going to be a bunch of dots that hop up here showing the finished floor levels. Let me go back for a second. The commercial level, by and large, is going to be between 45 and 54 feet above mean sea level. And the residential portion, the tallest portion of it, or the highest portion, is going to be right in the center of it at the north, about 64 feet above mean sea level. And then it slopes down from there, meeting up with the commercial project directly to the south. So there's a lot of graphics and circles going on. But in summary, this next slide really kind of shows what those building pads are going to look like. So it is a stepped elevation as you're out on this project site. The last thing that I really have to share with you is to, again, reiterate that one of the things that's going to happen on this project site is the relocation of various transmission lines. So on the left, that photo is on Hollister Avenue looking east. So you're on the north side or the south side of the project site. North side of Hollister Avenue, south side of the project site. In the top right corner, there's a large steel pole that basically is a transition between the lines coming down from Glen Annie and then turning west going down Hollister Avenue. And then the photo in the bottom right corner, those are the transmission lines that are running down Glen Annie towards Hollister Avenue. The ones that are going to be relocated as part of this project site are the ones that are running along Hollister Avenue. The ones that are coming down Glen Annie, those are still going to remain because when you get to the steel pole, there's a transition from above ground to underground, and the underground poles go to give power to UCSB and Isla Vista. And we're not going to cut power off from them. Here's a quick graph, again, just showing where those lines are going to go in summary form. And to conclude my brief summary here, this is the first of two scheduled planning commissions that we're going to be holding for the West Star mixed-use project, and it's going to consist primarily of a public site visit and providing background on the proposed project. The second scheduled public hearing is anticipated again to be heard on July 23rd, and it's to consider the administrative record to receive presentations and public comments, to deliberate the project, and to provide a recommendation to the City Council. And with that, we provide our brief recommendation that you do allow us to give you our overview. We depart from City Hall after the applicant's presentation. We return here approximately 7:30 if anyone wants to join us for the second half of the hearing today. And then after we return here, take more public comment, and then depart and continue to a second meeting. So with that, I'm available for questions if there are any from the Planning Commission. And if not, I would gladly introduce the applicant and his team to give his presentation. Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Kolowitz. On your last grading slide, you had the two different pads and you had grading numbers for those two. It wasn't clear to me, were those the averages of all the other circles that were on there, or is that some other type of calculation where you came up with those numbers?
These aren't averages. These are, if you look at the individual building.
Those aren't decimal points, huh? Those were small.
That's
hyphens. Got it. Okay. Yep, that makes sense. Thank you.
I have a follow-up question on the same slide.
Of course.
Okay. Were any of the numbers, did you look at all at the roof line along with these floor elevations? Was there information on that presented?
There's nothing in the presentation itself that goes into those details, but generally speaking, the buildings along Hollister Avenue are a maximum of 24 feet. The residential buildings, there's a total of three buildings that are two-story, and then the rest are three-story buildings. The residential buildings are between 24 and 35 feet tall. I'm going to defer those questions to the applicant and his team because I know that they brought their architects with them. They have their architectural renderings to share with you, which because I knew that I did not include that in our staff report tonight, and that'll give you some more detailed information.
Okay, Scott. On the story poles and stakes graph, okay. The larger building in the right-hand corner is not story poled, yet it's very close to Hollister, and it's larger than the one that is story poled. So what is the rationale?
It's the location, by and large, of the existing building, the existing television/old bank building. We felt that with the other buildings that are not existing, those were the more important ones to share what is going to be constructed. We felt that the existing building presents itself in a way that already blocks part of the site from the view and allows individuals to get a general sense of where structure development is and where it's going.
But how does the height of the current building that will be demolished compare to the height of this building?
The existing building, I believe, is taller than the proposed building. Give me a minute and I can go ahead and double check that for you.
You know, you can do it later. It's
Between now and when we return, we'll find that answer out for you.
You know, I think I'm just going to go ahead while it's on my mind and ask a question that perhaps the answer should be deferred until next time, and that is the height of the marketplace, and I think a lot of that is because it's depressed, because not economically but physically, mm-hmm. because of some airport concerns. So you have that, which is the site is going to be lower than this site. So when perhaps for the next meeting on this, we could have some comparisons on that.
We do have some numbers available for that if you would like to hear them.
Well, sure.
Okay. So the Camino Real Marketplace, again, they're above mean sea level pads are anywhere between 39 to 43 feet above sea level. Their structures, by and large, are 26 to 35 feet above or above those levels. So collectively, their development is anywhere between 65 to 78 feet above mean sea level. Now, granted, there's a lot of variation that happens with their buildings as you go through the project site. Comparatively, with this project being slightly above that location on Hollister Avenue itself, the overall heights are anywhere between 71 to 74 feet on Hollister Avenue for this project, 65 to 78 feet for the Camino Real Marketplace as currently constructed. You want me to say those again? Okay. So this site, total end-of-the-day height, 71 to 74 feet along Hollister Avenue, and the Camino Real Marketplace, 65 to 78 feet.
Okay. And my last question is, we're dealing with sort of mean heights, which exclude certain features of the building, I don't know what to call them, the accoutrement kind of thing.
Architectural features is the technical term in our zoning ordinance.
Well, that's a start for me. Okay. And so how to ask it, what is the height of those architectural features? How much more than the 45 mean on the building? And you know, these questions you can come back on, I know. So.
For a large portion of the commercial area, it's the parapet wall is going to be the highest portion for most of it, so it is pretty representative. You do get areas where there's going to be cupolas and little towers here and there throughout it. I'm going to defer again to the applicant's presentation later today because, again, they're going to go through their architectural projections.
Fine. Sure. So shall we hear from the applicant now? All right.
Chair?
Yes,
I did have one question. Thank you. How long will the story poles be up?
Thank you, Commissioner Shuler. Today. They went up today, and they're going to come down today.
Why so short?
This was the applicant's proposal to us. If the Planning Commission has a different feeling, I will open the floor to the applicant.
Mr. Kolowitz, is somebody from staff going to photo document this?
That has already happened today.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Shall we go to the applicant then?
Good evening, Madam Chairman, members of Planning Commission. Peter Ketting with Westar Associates. All I can say is, well, we finally made it. We're here. Thank you, Planning Commission. Thank you. I feel like a daytime Emmy winner. I should start thanking people. But Dan Singer and his staff in the last 3 months really put the hard court press on to get documents in line, get us accomplished, and get us this far. So we're glad for that. We're glad to bring this forth to the community. They asked me to not get into all the details of the project until we get back, but I think I've been spending way too much time here with Scott because he said everything I was going to say. So I'm going to spin it a little bit, but I'll give you a little history. He said, tell a story. We're going to talk about the introduction of the project, the overview of the planning process, and site constraints at the beginning, because that drives a design in most cases. To do that, we have to start with the genesis of the plan. The land was acquired in 2004. We're at 2012. I didn't realize it was four until I looked it up and asked my partner who's here. we began this design process to several ways. One way was we had to understand the community. So we had to spend time here, which we did. We had to understand what the needs were. We had a blank canvas. The site is still a blank canvas. So understanding the community was number one. Formulating generalized concept and strategies for us and our business plans. And then we tested that. We went out to focus groups. We did that with over 20 residents and business people in the community over about a six-month period. Two and three and four people coffees and talked and threw out ideas and got their input. Still no drawings. Just trying to understand a vision. Out of that, we had a vision, a visionary plan, which led to a concept plan, and another one, and another one, another one. We studied everything from regional commercial, somewhat like the Camino Real, to all residential, to townhomes, to a mixture of residential units, all the way, the entire property. Then we bought the corner building that's, we're going to meet the old bank. And we thought, we can't have that sitting out there. We got to do something with that. So we struggled through a negotiation and bought it. We came up with a plan for a residential mix. And let me run through a couple things here. I have mine, too, Scott. Of course, the location is so important to this mixed-use concept that we want to bring forth. There's our famous street-line poles, the site itself. I'll run through these quickly. We, with consultants, fell in love with the fact about neighborhood walkability from where this site is located to get to places. From Gersh Park, Camino Real, Gersh Park, Ocean Meadows, the Bluffs, even the university if you were able to walk a mile and a half or ride a bike. So it told us we're in the center of an active area, and it's going to be nice to get people out of their car and walk to everything if they can do it. Jobs were on there. Wham, we got hit with a after doing a lot of site planning, we got hit with a major constraint. And that was the airport approach zone. That led us to realizing we have another constraint, and that's planning. But let me run through those for you right now, briefly. Scott asked us, what were your goals and objectives? Well, when we prepare goals and objectives in our business, we look at three things. Are they reasonable? Are they believable? And more importantly, are they achievable? Those are goals and objectives. So in summary, we want to develop a successful project. We wanted to blend a mixed-use plan that would work together. And we wanted to do this plan. This plan had to be sustainable for the environment. So the zoning came in. We have to change the zone. And the entire zone, for people who haven't read any of the reports, the general plan land use has it medium-density residential, the entire property, with one exception, the acre and a quarter on the corner where the arrow is, the purple, institutional industrial office. On the right slide, we're looking at obviously the same general plan designation of medium density residential. The zoning would then follow. Some of your zoning ordinances do not follow the general plan right now. And then since we couldn't build residential, we looked at general plan of community commercial and zoning of shopping center below. Here's the process we went through, just looking at constraints, looking at access. We looked at all the circulation internally, where icon buildings would be, where connectivity would be. That led us into those paths and all the walking areas we've created, or trying to. And then the orientation of buildings, should they be going east-west or north-south. And that was important for one of the goals. Then all the design influences, you know. With that, we set up the fact that on the circulation, it was very important. We were told this is constraint. I told you the seminal issue was the approach zone and the 1 mile marker, which came up about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, when the airport extended out the runway. So we played around and moved buildings a little bit. We went through a long process with the Airport Land Use Commission, and finally, with their staff, we went to the commission, got a unanimous approval for the plan we're proposing tonight. Circulation. We had to connect with the Camino Real signal, which bifurcates our property, so that had to be the entry. The other side of that was a connection to Glen Addie and Sespe Road Lane, excuse me, that little neighborhood there. That was on the master street plan for the city. And that's the one we're going to walk along today. So with those, we said, okay, now we're going to divide the property up, and we went through the series of site planning. Third constraint, retain 100-year flood waters on site. This property has never been used for ag. It's never been developed. And that was an engineering challenge, and Don Donaldson of Penfield and Smith will address that after our tour. So we had to come up with a plan to protect downstream with water quality and flood control. Fourth, maintain viewshed corridor from Hollister wherever possible. That got us into site planning. Those are constraints that we had to deal with and are dealing with. And now the planning process. Scott, you covered most of it. We really enjoyed coming to the city council first. I think we're the first one that ever came to the city council on a conceptual review, and they sent it down, and I think several of you fine people were on the planning commission a month or so later, and we felt very good about the direction we were getting. Then we got to work with DRB ahead of the normal procedure. We were willing to engage them in the process. We did that, and we learned from very insightful ideas, creative meetings. Then we went back and reimagined the whole project again. The little things make a project work the best. Therefore, we needed to have, to make this successful, we had to color outside the lines of a normal development. So we introduced a live-work concept, something that we've read about and seen in other cities, and Santa Barbara's got them. It's untested here. That is something we wanted to introduce in the process. We wanted to connect the small retail shopping village to the residential through paths and walkways to actually get people out of their cars and to walk down there. Most apartment projects are further out, and you got to get in your car and go buy a quart of milk. Well, you can now walk, get out of the house. If somebody's irritating you, you can go sit on down at the shopping center plaza and have a cappuccino. This whole plan resonates around walkability and sustainable solutions to creative planning. And it's basically an open campus, the apartment project. We brought in all of the connectivity throughout the center and the apartment project. Older plan, but the graphic was kind of nice. We wanted to create a campus with a cluster of buildings, and internally in those buildings are small little pockets of recreation and bigger ones. And then the community recreation around the clubhouse, and we've since expanded that and looked at ways to bring a very unique project in that location. So that led us to the retail and gathering places in passive and active areas. The shopping village, just, and I'm almost through, will provide retail, restaurants, services, and jobs, all within a walkable zone. So in 2009, our application, we tightened it up enough, and we submitted it twice, and it was deemed approved. Off we go. So 2009, we're here. And with that, I think we can take the tour. I will get into the details with our consultants on the concept of the plan. Unless there's an early question, I say we go before the sun sets.
Thank you. I think before we leave, we need to open the public hearing. Oh. So let's consider that done. And then just so everybody knows, our site visit is for the West Star mixed-use project that we've just heard something about, and its location is 7000 Hollister Avenue, City of Goleta. So if we're all ready, let's go.
somebody needs you. It's no good unless she needs you all the way through the good or lean years and for all those in between years. Come what may, who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way.
Scott, are we ready to come back to our business in this room now? We have been on, the commission has been on a site visit for the West Star property, and we're a little bit later returning than we thought, but it was a great visit, and we had some community members there with us, and I think it was very nice. So, commissioners, how about we take public testimony now? Right? Okay. Betty Jeppesen?
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I represent Islay Investments. We own the Plaza Shopping Center at 7127 Hollister, which is where the DMV, Albertsons, and Pacific Sales are located. We continue to be concerned about the traffic. I know tonight is not the traffic portion, but we ask that you keep in mind all the extra cars. I don't know how many of you dared to turn left onto Hollister from Glen Annie, but I didn't. I went exactly the way I think people are going to my shopping center and turned around and came back. The other thing is I would request that the story polls be left up for at least a month so that people from the public can see them and maybe see that something's going on and maybe give you some input that you would not otherwise have. Thank you.
Thank you. Dana Trout.
Thank you. I have a few questions that primarily relate to the grading map and also the changes to Hollister that Mr. Kollwitz was talking about while we were at the site. My question on this grading map has to do with the neighboring property on the west, or the street, is about 45 feet above sea level back near the railroad tracks. The property as it stands now is about 71 feet, which is 26 feet different. When it's graded for the project as it's going to be used, is it just going to be highly dished so that these buildings here in the northwest corner are lower, but it still has that 26-foot berm along the street? Or is that going to be taken down pretty much to street level?
If I may.
Please.
The site is going to have some substantial grading that happens along it. On the table, there's a series of sections, if you will, showing exactly what's going to happen in various sections along all the property lines. So that section is going to lower slightly. I'm going to hold off from giving more details to your question right now.
Excuse me, Scott. And more details will be available in the EIR as well. And it is not quite our custom to have a question and answer session during the public forum. So, Dana, why don't you go ahead and ask your questions?
Okay.
And then, since we have another meeting on this, that'll give our staff time to think about the answer.
Okay. There's kind of a similar issue at the railroad tracks on Glen Annie. Most of the site along Glen Annie is pretty much at street level, but the last several hundred feet is substantially higher. And then the question about how the north side of Hollister was going to be reconfigured for right turn lanes and things like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trout. All right, I don't have any more. Yes, I do. All right. Cyrus? And your last name, please.
Morici.
Thank you.
I had an opportunity to take a look at the story poles. Thank you very much for setting them up. I would like to see the entire complex mapped out with story poles. The reason I ask is I'd like to be able to get a good appreciation for the complete scope of the project. I also have concerns about parking and traffic, which I know will be taken up at a later time, but I'd like to make sure that we have adequate parking and have a good appreciation for the number of cars that are going to flow through the area. And I'd like to see the story pulls up for about a month as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now that seems to conclude our public testimony portion. We are running a little late on this project, so what I would like to see us do is to have sort of a debriefing, perhaps from Scott. Any parting comments from Mr. Ketting? But first, just to make you sit, commissioners, if you have any questions that you would like answered now, say so. Otherwise, we'll go on.
Two things. One, thank you for the site visit, Mr. Kolowitz. I thought it was very informative. And number two, as I walked into that northwest corner and then back easterly, there was a drainage ditch through there, some kind of an earthen swale with a number of markers in it. And so it wasn't going to guess at what that was, but that might be something we bring up when we get together the next time we do in July. It would be interesting and important to see how that that whole drainage area will be handled and how that works through this grading plan and what the features are with respect to that drainage area. Thank you.
Meg?
I'm curious about the decision to change the northeastern quadrant of the development from an outwardly facing design towards an inwardly facing design. Can you explain the reasoning behind that decision?
Once again, Peter Ketting with Westar. That was a decision after several meetings with the homeowners that live over off Sesby and Glen Annie. They had asked about that. They were concerned about houses fronting and possibly using street parking to get in rather than park there and walk around. And I listened to them, and I said, let's come up with a plan, and maybe this will work better. Then internally, we sat with staff and said, what do you think about we'll reduce a building, move them in, and create little cluster areas around the building for activities for the apartment owners. And remember, we have garages on these buildings, not carports, so it's not a bad looking back of a building. Actually, it isn't. And when I presented it, I had a meeting with a lot of these fine folks yesterday late afternoon. And what'd you think? They liked it that way. I mean, That's the answer. You asked it. Since I have the mic, no, I'm teasing. Brent, I'll let Don can handle that question. That's, I think it, what you saw was the sanitary sewer going along there. That's in my, over that northwest corner. If I'm mistaken, I'll talk to him afterwards. And there was a question about parking. I just want to answer that because I didn't really finish our presentation. We required 531 parking stalls. We have 551 on site for the only, just for the apartments. So we exceeded code on that. And they weren't, the neighbors said it might not be enough if you have a lot of people staying there, but we got as many as we could over. That does not count street parking we're building for the public. So I thought I'd answer that.
Mr. Ketting, I think the commissioners are finished with their questions for this evening, so if you'd like to wrap up your presentation, go right ahead.
Very good. I really will be brief.
Okay.
We learned a lot in the field. I learned some things. I just wanted to touch on some items. We have our architect here that worked on the apartments, designed them, and if it's not tonight on sustainability, then I'll wait on it. But I just want to run through a list of things on sustainability. Since this is, I call a suburban infill, not an urban. This is a suburban committee. It's a suburban infill project. We wanted to really get sustainable elements built in here. And the mere fact of providing walking to retail stores, to the public transportation, to the regional shopping and entertainment, it is going to keep people out of their car. It's going to be reduce vehicular trips. It's going to reduce carbon footprint and everything about it. The live-work units, same thing. Somebody will be able to stay there and live there and operate a small business. All of this is about that. Recreational amenities on-site and over at Gersh. They can walk over there if they want to get a big field. So there's things that we're compressing into the project that are going to be nice. We're building something that is a little site on the property where people can drive in, wash their car. With recycled water, we're going to keep the, Don, what is it? We're going to clean that water with a system to keep them from just hosing off behind their apartment and washing the car and let the soap suds. We saw it somewhere else and we thought, let's introduce it to this project. Through a biofiltration system. All the drought-tolerant landscaping that goes without saying and the reclaimed water, the bioswales we're introducing throughout the project to recollect that, the green building items that our next time we'll let Jack Selman of Architects Orange discuss, the underground retention basin that I didn't get to tell you about that Don Donaldson introduced, all of our drainage goes into a system, goes under that parking lot in the shopping center. It's like your intestines. It snakes back and forth and leaches out and then gradually goes into the storm system rather than have it all flow downstream and somebody else's problem. Rather than building a one-acre pond in the middle that has mosquitoes and everything else, we're doing it all underground. And the city public works and engineer blessed it. It's the first one you're going to see in the community. And one last thing, real quick. There's something, we're going to have the electric car charging, but we're going to introduce something, if we can get this company to come along, it's called Zip Cars to help sustainability. So they get like four of them in the shopping center, and the company runs it, and you join in, and you can pick up that car whenever you want, drive it somewhere, fill it up, and they charge you. You know, but it's on an honor system. I've seen it in various major cities in the United States and with the school. That would get people to have one card and not two. So if they need to go somewhere, go to the hospital, they can get in the Zip card, run down and come back. Those are some of the things we're really working to get and do. We think it's a good project. We think it's going to be exciting and new and something different for the community. Thank you. Click, click, click.
All right. Scott, do you want to finish up for the city?
So at this point in time, now that we've finished giving the presentations, going on the site visit, opening up for public comment. At this point in time, it's appropriate for the Planning Commission to go ahead and continue this project to the next meeting.
All right. Commissioners, do you have any other questions that you'd like to put out for Commissioner?
Chair Wallace, before we continue the hearing, I'd just like to ask Mr. Kollwitz, I did not receive the email regarding the dates of the prior DRB discussions of this project, so if maybe you could resurrect that and send that back, I'd appreciate it.
Not a problem. We'll go ahead and we'll send that out to all of the planning commissioners. There are two meetings that this project has been before the DRB while our Granicus system was up and running, so anyone from the public can watch those as well.
Thank you. All right, so we need to leave the public hearing open and continue it to July 23rd, 2012. So would you like to do that by motion?
Chair Wallace, I'm going to make a bid again to postpone the continuance of the meeting. I appreciate the sense of urgency in completing the project. However, I think that given the opportunity to have three planning commissioners on site or five for the meeting, that it's probably in the best interest of the community to be better represented.
Yes, we kind of made our preferences and our concerns known about that. I don't know exactly what to do because I know that to continue, we need to pick a date certain.
Yeah, we do have some options with that. The July 23rd meeting is one that we have on the table as a staff recommendation.
The issue with the July 23rd meeting is we already know that two of our commissioners cannot be in attendance. Three have said yes, but I suppose one of us could be ill or something like that. And we work better when we're at full, just a moment, then I'll shut up. We work better when there are five of us. Our interaction is very good on projects, so.
And I appreciate those comments very much, Chair Wallace and members of the commission. The month of July does happen to have five Mondays. The next meeting, the next Monday after July 23rd is the 30th. The Planning Commission meets on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. We could call a special meeting on July 30th if that would be of interest to the Planning Commission.
For those commissioners who cannot be here on the 23rd, would the 30th be a better date for you?
I will still be out of town, but that's just one.
I would be here for that meeting.
That puts, would put us to a potential of four.
Without seeing my schedule, I think I'm around at the end of July.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, now let me ask from staff's point of view is, and from the Mr. Ketting's point of view, would the 30th work as well for you?
From staff's perspective, yes.
All right.
We are available on the 3rd.
Okay.
We would yield to that. If you feel comfortable with 4,
we'll do. Right. Obviously, I believe that all of us are more comfortable with the added commissioner. Before we finish with this, I want to say something about story polls. And my first comment is directed to staff. I believe that we obviously need city policy about when to require story polls. But also, in other jurisdictions, story polls have evolved, and they have not. They're still basically two-by-fours and things like that in the city of Goleta. We need some standards that would include how they are placed, that would include the situations where they should be in place, and certainly should address some time for their being there. Which brings me to the second part of what I wanted to say, and that is it's really short to the public to put them up today and then literally to take them down before most people even know that they're there. If there is any possibility without undue problems for you, I would hope that you would leave them up so that people can see them. I mean, that's the whole point. And I will tell you my impression seeing those there was that the project is going to be better from a height perspective than I had had thought or even feared. So if more public members get to see them, perhaps they'll feel the same. That's just a request. And, yeah. All right, well, why don't we go ahead and get a motion out then to continue to the 30th of July?
Chair, I'll make the motion.
Is there a second, please?
So seconded.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Madam Clerk, that's unanimous. So we will now meet on July 30th.
Thank you.
Okay. May I just ask staff if there are other items? Thank you very much. Is the meeting of the 23rd now canceled, or are there fill-in items? You want to wait and see?
I can't speak to if it's canceled as of this point in time,
okay,
as I'm not the secretary to the Planning Commission.
Sure, that's fine.
As far as the notice, one thing you should know is we did originally notice this meeting with both dates.
All right.
We will run a correction for the July 23rd meeting, not holding the West Star project, but it being continued instead to the July 30th meeting.
Thank you, Scott. And thank you, staff, for arranging the site visit. I think that was very helpful.
Thank you.
Okay.
You
know, if you want to say something else, I would need you to come, please, to the podium.
Hi, my name is Leslie Lund, and I live at 118 South Glen Annie, and I'm sorry I wasn't here in time to get a speaker slip. And I just had a really quick question. Before the 30th, should we have more questions or concerns? How can we address them to you, or should we always go through Scott, email? We have a few more thoughts running
To answer for the commission, I believe on the city's webpage, you will see our email addresses. You can do that. Certainly, whatever communications come from the public that are directed to staff will come to us. So that would be your choice.
Thank you.
On your way out, how about filling out a speaker slip?
Whatever they are.
Okay. All right, so I believe that concludes this item then. So we'll just pause here for a moment.
We need a brief break.
Yes, let's take about a 5-minute break so that we can get set up for the next item. All right, I think that we can come back to order now and do our next item. Madam Clerk, please.
Item B2 is a public hearing, 11-136 GC, General Plan Conformity Determination for vacation of a portion of an unimproved public easement located west of Phelps Road by the City of Goleta.
Thank you. Commissioners, any disclosures, comments?
Madam Chair, I do have a disclosure. I'm an employee of the University of California, Santa Barbara, and city attorney advised me to step out and recuse myself from this, so I'll be back in a short while.
Thank you, Commissioner.
No site visit, no ex parte.
All right. Me neither. Okay. Staff, how about a report?
Thank you. Good evening. This, of course, is a public hearing that's required under Government Code Section 65402 for the Planning Commission to report on any real property transactions as to the conformity of the location, the extent, and the purpose with the general plan. So this evening's item is in regards to an actual vacation or an abandonment of a portion of an easement along Phelps Road, where it dead ends west of Cannon Green, over by the Elwood Mesa, right north of the university's North Campus Housing or Ocean Walk project development. I'm here tonight with Marty Schultz, and she's an engineer in our community services department, and she's responsible for the action regarding this vacation. And again, tonight's action is finding conformity with the general plan, and then the actual vacation will go to the city council later on, and Ms. Schultz will be taking that forward. So this isn't the this is just that step that's required before the city council can actually take that action. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Marty so she can explain to you a little bit more about the actual easement and the shape of it and the location so you can get a better sense about what it is exactly that we are vacating.
Good evening. The as you can see on the overhead and as well as in your packet, the location for this abandonment is Phelps Road as it extends to the west just beyond Cannon Green Drive. The existing right-of-way of Phelps Road is approximately 104 feet in width. This vacation is a 25-foot along the southerly extent of Phelps Road, leaving 79 feet available for public trail purposes. This portion of Phelps Road has never been improved. Prior to incorporation, there were plans to extend Phelps to the west, and those plans went to the wayside, and upon incorporation, our general plan shows this area only as a public trail, non-vehicular access. The area is currently used as such, as you can also see in the photograph, or the aerial photo. You can see that there is a defined existing trail. The construction of the UCSB housing project currently underway is the area that is to the south of the red boundary. That's actually not in the city of Goleta. That is within the county of the county of Santa Barbara and under UCSB ownership. The vacation area, however, the 25 feet is within the city limits. So that is the location of the easement to be proposed for abandonment. The extent is that it is 25 feet wide for approximately 907.5 feet long along this portion of Phelps Road, which is approximately a half an acre. This area, with the approval of the UCSB housing project, was identified to be abandoned, and through an agreement between UCSB, the city of Goleta, and the county of Santa Barbara. So in following through with that agreement, the first step of this is to get the Planning Commission to review the requirements of the abandonment process associated with the Government Code Section 65402. Being the purpose is for the city to follow through on the agreement associated with the development. I think that pretty much covers the three reasons that we're here this evening. So if there's any other questions on the location, extent, and purpose of the abandonment, I will do my best to answer any questions.
All right.
Questions? I'm going to add a little bit just to make sure that it's very clear to all of you commissioners and also to the public that the excerpt from a map that's on the screen and also in the PowerPoint presentation that you have a hard copy of is from our general plan. And it's the map in front of you is from the open space element. Then there's also two maps in our transportation element identifying the same location that's circled. And that's the location of the extent or the location of the abandonment. And a trail is identified in our general plan and a bike path. So the general plan's very clear about what it envisions at this location, which is a trail. And there's an existing trail there today that people ride their bikes on and they also walk. It's unimproved. But the actual act to vacate the property is that 25 southerly feet so that the 79-foot width still remains to protect this trail that exists now and then doesn't preclude us from improvements in the future.
So again, the general plan itself is envisions a similar use of the site. And then to take our conformity findings that are in the attached resolution to the staff report, because it is a resolution that we use as the mechanism to make these findings, walks through the location, includes all the maps in the general plan so that it's very clear where it is, and also includes the legal description of the site. And so I won't belabor the location, extent, and purpose because Marty just explained it accurately. But the location is, of course, the actual location, including the existing trail and the bike path. And then the purpose is to be consistent with our 2008 cooperative agreement with UCSB and preserve that northerly bike path trail for future public use. And then the extent is it's a total of 0.52 acres. So it's another way of saying what Ms. Schultz just said, which was the actual width and length, and that totals 0.52 acres of the existing easement. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Questions?
I've got a quick question. What will that 25 feet be used for by the university?
The 25 feet is a part of their landscaping, back fences, and backyards.
So the fence would come out 25 feet from the property line into the current easement?
The actual property line goes to the center line of the street easement of Phelps. The abandonment will then release the street for, or that area for street purposes, then it'll revert to the existing property owner. A portion of that has landscaping, a fence, and backyards. It's not that the fence, I don't believe, goes right up to that 25 feet. I think there's a little landscape buffer, and off the top of my head, I apologize, I don't know what that dimension is, but it's primarily the backyard, a fence, and then a little landscape buffer. And then, of course, the remaining 79 feet of the street easement will be natural with a trail on it.
Okay, so you feel that's plenty of room to protect the trail and restore it as a nice trail for the people who are already using it?
Yes, that sounds like more than sufficient room.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Marty, maybe a naive question, but I'm looking at this photograph here that shows a red line, and it's depicted as the city of Goleta limit line. So I'm under the impression that right now today, this 25-foot swath is part of the city of Goleta.
This is correct.
Okay. To vacate is to give over that easement to the university. Is that correct?
Correct.
And so the university will own a part of the city of Goleta. There won't be a de-annexation.
That is the current configuration. Portion of their property is actually 52 feet of that parcel is within the city of Goleta currently.
Okay. So they are already within the easement itself, and this is just the vacation to clean that up.
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Other questions? All right. We have a resolution before us, so we would need a motion on that. Is it necessary to read the title of the resolution?
It's not essential.
All right. Thank you.
I move to approve the recommendation to the City Council for item B2.
Chair, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I believe you may have a speaker slip on this before we take a motion from the clerk. Thought you had a speaker slip on this. You do not?
I do not.
No speaker slip?
I believe.
I apologize.
I have one, but a question was answered, so there's no need.
Thank you. I apologize.
Okay. Shall I restate?
I was just wondering, I don't believe this is a recommendation to the City Council. I think it's a finding for the Planning Commission.
I will restate my motion then.
Thank you.
Thank you. I move to adopt the resolution 12 next in line for this item.
I'll second.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 That is unanimous, Madam Clerk, and that concludes this item.
Thank you.
No need to tell Bill we're ready for him. All right. I think the next item is a report from staff, please.
Thank you, Pat Saley, the acting planning director. Planning director is not here this evening, so she gave me a few notes to pass on to you. Just some dates reminders that on Thursday night is the workshop with the City Council and the Planning Commission on the Green Building Program. So that's here at, I think, 6 o'clock. And then the next meeting is July 23rd, and there is an item on that agenda. There were two, West Star and another one. So we'll still have that meeting, and then we'll also have the meeting on July 30th that we had talked about earlier this evening.
What is the item for the 23rd? Do you remember?
It's one of the advanced planning items, and it's part of the Southern California Edison grant.
Oh, okay.
So it's a step that needs to be taken as part of the grant. And then that was it?
Well, you know, for months we've been told we were going to be busy. It looks like we're busy. Commissioners, do you have any comments you want to make?
I'll just comment that I do think it's a great idea for the City of Goleta to have a more a set policy on those story polls, because I think that's going to come up every time.
All right. Anyone else? Brent?
I'll just say I concur, having done story polls many times myself.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Well, then how about a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Madam Clerk, that's unanimous, and I've never had an adjournment motion. I've never seen one with less than unanimous. So, good night.